Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Last week in our study, 1 Timothy chapter 6, we were taught that we cannot be indifferent about the things of God. We are either for God or we are an adversary to God. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
And that takes us to verse 10 again. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, notice it doesn't say money is the root, rather the love of money. Just like verse 9, it doesn't say the rich, but they that will be rich. The love of money is the root of all evil. And the word evil is plural. At the root of most all evils, one somehow sees that money is involved. And it's not necessarily stealing, but it's still the love of money that's at the root. So they covet after, which is in the continual sense, the continual tense, they covet after it. And that's what their heart wants. This is what their heart desires, and they covet this thing. Well, the Bible tells us that covetousness is idolatry. It's the same as worshiping a false god in the Lord's sight. You say, well, it's not that way to me. You're not the judge, and I'm not the judge. God is. And so, when you get to coveting after this flesh, after the things of this world instead of the things of eternity, then you're going into idolatry. Now, sometimes I'll say to people, I covet your prayers. Well, that's a good thing if they're right with God. You see, we need to understand there is a battle raging today between truth and error, between light and darkness. And that's going on throughout the world, not just in our particular religious circle or neighborhood. And my friend, if we're indifferent to the attacks on our Lord, on His church, and particularly on His Word, as so many are trying to change it, to dilute it, to destroy it, then we need to wake up. You've got to decide which side of the great divider you're on. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. You're either assured or you're an adversary. You're assured, that is, you're so sure of the promises of God, you continually seek God's will first because you have a heart that is set in eternity. But on the other hand, you can be adversarial. When circumstances, particularly financial circumstances, get tough, you show God that food and raiment are not enough. Instead of being motivated by God's promises, you're motivated by fear of a financial setback. And I wonder how much that has happened over the last few years of this worldwide economic recession, and in some cases, depression. I wonder how often that's happened. I often hear people say, well, the bottom line for this type of person does not have eternity set in their heart. And so that makes us ask ourselves as Christians, am I in the will of God, or does money, or the things of this world, consume me. Here, in verse 10, the example is the love of money, because it's the passion, it's the desire, it's what we pursue and want. And my friend, if that becomes the desire and controlling interest of your heart, you're headed for despair, and you're headed for a great, great fall. And really, I wouldn't want anybody who's listening to my voice to go through that. Now that takes us on into verses 11 and 12. And really, having laid this foundation of being content, those that aren't content, and the various things that trouble us, we see what I call 4F Christians. Now, let me explain what I'm saying here. Now, a lot of you older folks would understand what I mean by 4F. In 1969, when our country still had a draft system and you were drafted into the military, I was summoned by Uncle Sam to come for a physical. If I passed, I would be immediately drafted or inducted into the Army. I failed the physical, and I was listed 4F, meaning that although Vietnam at that time was a hot war, I could not be drafted even during time of our country's being involved in a world war. And you say, what in the world was wrong with you? Well, an X-ray showed that my backbone was misformed. Now, I've told people since that my backbone was yellow, but it's misformed. And yet I've not really had any back problems through my life. And they said that would be a problem out there. Something goes wrong, goes out right in the middle of battle or what have you. And men were depending on me. So I was 4F. Now, today I'm using the term 4F in a good sense to outline these next two verses. Because all 4Fs that we're going to look at are imperative commands. Now, again, understand that an imperative command means you do this, but you keep on doing it. You don't stop. And God's going to call you to an account. I mean, this an imperative command is on the level of a military command in God's sight. I'm told there's over 600 of those in the New Testament alone. And so if you're one of those that say, hey, commands are for the Old Testament, don't be a legalist. There are over 600 New Testament imperative commands. You can call God a legalist if you want to. You call Jesus Christ a legalist if you want to. But all that means is that you have been set free from the power of sin over your own life. Now, the first F we see here in verse 11 is flee. Let me read verses 11 and 12, and then we'll go back over them. It says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now understand that our verbs are action verbs in the Christian life. First of all, we're told the man of God is told to flee these things. That sounds cowardly, to flee when you're in God's army. But the phrase man of God is used both in the Old and New Testament, and often it's referring to the one who stands for God in the day of the clinching. In other words, this guy doesn't try to blend in the world, nor think outside the box of God's word and holiness. See, the people think outside the box, and they're thinking outside the box of God's word and holiness. They're seeking to blend with the world. They want to avoid the promise of God. In 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so what do? They conform to the world. Now, we're told plainly in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, that word conform has the idea of to blend and to emulate and to imitate. And so that's what happens so often, is the church has women coming in that are dressed in modestly. They have rock and roll music. The standards are gone. Why? Because they have conformed. They've emulated the world, but they hold on to the religion, adding some religious words to it in hopes that it just might make them feel good about being a Christian. Okay. And of course, that always leads to failure. Now, it seems to be the idea here of a man or a woman who stands for God. And so when it says, flee, O man of God, he says, flee. Wow, that's pretty strong, and especially as an imperative command. And here's somebody who honors God through obedience and holiness. And especially in the day when so many of his so-called people ignore and rebel against God. So here's a person who's a man of God. And because 1 and 2 Timothy's, these books, are addressed to pastors, we see it as somebody who first is a pastor, but also all Christians. Because we all have a responsibility to God. But we're to flee these things. The word flee is a Greek present imperative, which commands a continuous action. That continuous action is that he not merely avoid these things, he's commanded to flee these things. What things? Well, the things particularly in the last paragraph, verses 3 through 10. You see, it had to do with both our attitude toward authority and money. Flee from bad attitudes toward authority and from coveting, which is the opposite of contentment and godliness. Verses 9 and 10 stand out particularly in this matter. Listen again as I read those verses that we just read earlier. But they that will be rich fall into a temptation and snare, the many foolish and harmful lusts, plural, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Wow, many sorrows. The man of God, especially the pastors in the book of 1 Timothy, which is a church manual, is to make it a habit to be continually fleeing from a fondness for money and material things. The duty of the pastor is not to build himself an empire in which he makes himself the emperor. That's not our responsibility.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ. Christ Jesus.